Now on Sports Radio 810 WHB, the Interurban Lofts proudly present The Border Patrol with Stephen St. John and Nate Buchanan.
Good morning, my neighbors!
It's showtime!
One person, man. Well, actually, two people, Terry Braden and Joe Coven. We got some of the best coaches in the building, and we're just very fortunate. We got a very good group, very young group, a lot of hungry guys in our room. Started with the leadership of Frank Clark, Carlos Dunlap, then the younger guys like Colin Sanders stepping up this year, Derek Nottie, who's been in this system for four to five years, and Mike Dana, Tershawn Warden, you know, a lot of guys who's hungry to show that, you know, they belong in this league.
Chris, is there anything about Joe Burrow that makes him difficult to bring down?
He's a good quarterback, man. I don't know what you guys want me to give you, all world. I'm not going to give y'all all of that. He's a good quarterback, man. He's a good quarterback.
We've done better in that area. We're finishing the sacks. This kid is unique that we're playing. I mean, he's strong in the pocket. And so it presents another challenge. And, you know, our guys will work on that this week and make sure that they have a plan for that.
Yo, Chuck, these dirty dribblers are still front on us. Show them that we can do this, because we always do this. Yeah, boy!
Bass, how low can you go? Death row? What a brother, no. Once again, back is the incredible rhyme animal, the uncannibal thief. Public enemy number one. 5-4 said freeze, and I got numb. Can I tell him that I really never had a gun? But it's the wax that the Terminator X bun. Now they got me in a cell, cause my records they sell. Cause a brother like me said, well, Farrakhan's a prophet, and I think you wanna listen to what he can say to you. What you wanna do is follow for now. Power the people say, make a miracle. Deep up the lyrical. Black is back, all in, we're gonna win. Check it out.
Come on.
Here we go again. Bring the noise.
Good morning, Kansas City. Welcome to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB on this Thursday, December 1st. We are into the final month of 2022. I'm Nate Buchanan with you. Marco Marquez is running the show. Stephen St. John is under the weather today, dealing with whatever illness he came down with. He played through it yesterday, but apparently he's gotten a little worse today. So he is off this morning. We're going to have a busy show for you anyway, though, because we have a jam-packed show starting with Todd Lebo coming in here in a little bit. At 7 o'clock, Greg Gurley. He'll help us eat up some time at 7 o'clock. We'll talk some Kansas Jayhawk basketball. They suffered their first loss of the season over the Thanksgiving break against Tennessee. Bounced back with a win on Monday. They got Seton Hall coming up next. So we'll talk with Greg about that and college basketball. My radar's kind of starting to pop up on college basketball just a little bit now. Like, I've been keeping an eye on the games, the local schools. I know K-State suffered their first loss last night to Butler, but they've been off to a good start. Missouri's off to a good start. But, you know, college basketball is this weird schedule where it just kind of slowly ramps up, especially if you're in a town where there's an NFL team that's kicking ass, right? The games, like Kansas loses this game to Tennessee, and so what? You know, you're almost like, oh, good. Usually they get a lot better after they lose a game like that and Bill Self lights everybody up, you know, and they learn some lessons and they grow. So it's not like you're hanging on every play of the game. At least I'm not. I've got family members, I guess, excuse me. Well, a little hiccup there. I got family members that get all wound up for these non-con games, and I'm just like, eh. I mean, feel pretty confident KU's going to have a decent seed in the tournament by the end of it, and it's just like, well, let's see where we're at, you know? And so no losses are devastating this time. So the starts to ramp up a little bit. Then you get into conference play. The intensity picks up. You're playing for something. You're playing for a trophy. You're playing for seeding in the Big 12 tournament. You know all these teams. And then, of course, the big dance is when everybody's fired up and watching college basketball. So we're just kind of easing our way in. That's what you do in basketball, college basketball. You ease your way in. And we're getting a little more and more into it now as the calendar turns to December. Adam Kaplan at 7:30. A lot of good games in the NFL this weekend. We'll break down all of it with him. Gary Lezak with the weather forecast as he wraps up his television career today. So it'll be an emotional day for Gary Lezak. Typically, at 8 o'clock, we have Garrick Dieter, former Chiefs wide receiver, in studio with us. And if you recall, was it last weekend we had Sherman?
Ooh.
I think it was last weekend, or it was the weekend before.
Yeah.
His good buddy and softball teammate, the Sausage, Anthony Sherman, joined us. And amazingly, he had a good time. And this is going to start joining us on a regular basis as well. We'll be coming solo today because Garrick has prior responsibilities. So it's just going to be Anthony Sherman with us today, which is great because we'll have a chance to talk to him a little bit more one-on-one in depth. And then going forward, the plan is to have the dynamic duo of Garrick Dieter and Anthony Sherman in on a weekly basis. And hey, this is – it's December now. This is when – it's like, you know, what Magic Johnson used to say, that the fourth quarter was winning time, right? Well, in the NFL, it's like December. That's winning time. That's when, you know, you got to knuckle down. You got to dig deep. Everybody's kind of banged up. Everybody's, you know, kind of jockeyed for positioning this whole time. And now we find out where everybody's going to end up seated in the playoffs, all that stuff. Some teams are still going to have to work their way into the playoffs. December is winning time in the NFL. So we're taking it up a notch. We're going to have Garrick and Sausage in together, and then we go to school with Jesse Newell. He'll be in at 9 o'clock to break down the Chiefs analytics-wise and every other way. So we got a lot of Chiefs coverage coming your way. Got a little bit of college basketball sprinkled in, and we'll get it going for you today. I was thinking about this game against the Bengals, and obviously it feels like a really big game for so many reasons. And the biggest one, of course, is the fact that it's a rematch from the AFC Championship game from last year. The heartbreak that we all suffered. The Applebee's song guy blaring at halftime while the halftime show was trying to do their thing. All the memories that we have, but it was a game that we just, I think, assumed the Chiefs were going to win, especially when they got out to the big lead in the first half. I did think it was a bad sign that they didn't score going into halftime. At the time, I remember saying to my son, my son and I were driving back from a tournament he had played in Frisco, Texas. And we had the game on, and we stopped, ironically enough, at an Applebee's somewhere in Oklahoma to watch the entire second half. So we were in the car when the situation happened at the end of the first half. And I remember saying to him, they got to kick the field goal here. They got to. It's not enough time left to take this risk. And he said, oh, no, they can do it. It's Mahomes. And I said, well, you make a point, but they have to throw it. They have to throw it in the end zone right away, or they got to throw it out of bounds right away because there's not much time. I think you got to make sure you get the points. And we know how it turned out. But I still was confident the Chiefs were going to win the game because it was the Chiefs, you know, and they're at Arrowhead, and it's Patrick Mahomes. And I think that was another one of those reminders that the Chiefs themselves are still not invincible just because they have Patrick Mahomes. They're almost always going to be good if they have Mahomes and Andy Reid, right? They're probably going to win the West, and they're always going to be good, but it doesn't mean they're invincible. And we've been reminded of that a couple times in the Super Bowl against the Bucs and in that AFC Championship game against the Bengals. So that's a big, that's a, obviously the biggest reason, just the memories of that, the fact they beat the Chiefs twice last year. But obviously it also takes on more importance because the Bengals are good again this year, right? If they had fallen apart like the Rams, we wouldn't be as excited about this game. We wouldn't be any more excited about this game than we were the Rams game. And that Rams game was, I mean, we knew the Chiefs were going to win, and they won, and it wasn't anything to remember. You know, it was just, yeah, they won the game against a team they're way better than. And they didn't play a great game, but they played well enough to do it somewhat comfortably. This one is a great game. And we might as well get really, really excited for this one because this is the last one of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs. If you want to throw the Seahawks in there, I'll give it to you. I could work myself into excitement about the Seahawks, but come on. Do we think the Seahawks are in the same category as the Kansas City Chiefs right now? They got off to a good start.
Nope.
They've cooled off. They're in a terrible division. Somebody's got to win that NFC West. I think that the 49ers are starting to show themselves as the only really good team in that division, but we'll see. That I guess you could argue that one, but this is the only really, really good game. And it's weird because we've gotten used to the Chiefs playing almost nothing but big games, right? Primetime football. They coming into the season, toughest schedule in the NFL. And it goes to show you again how fickle things are in the NFL, because that has certainly changed from what we all thought it was going to be going into the season. But to change that drastically, where this is the only marquee matchup the Chiefs have the rest of the year, doesn't mean they won't lose one of those games. If they go out there and sleepwalk through a game, we know they can get got. They got by the Indianapolis Colts, right? It can happen. It's the NFL. I'm not suggesting that they have no chance of losing these other games, but it'll be a big-time upset if they do. And the excitement level for the game going into it, the lack of excitement going into it, will be part of the reason if they do slip up. It's because they will have relaxed a little bit going into the game. So let's go ahead and lean into Bengal Week. You know, there's only a few days until the game, but let's go ahead and embrace this sucker. Because it was also shown to us, the rest of the country sees it the same way. It used to be, for ever since he came into the league, that Patrick Mahomes is prime time watching. They want Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs on in prime time as often as possible. And now it's gotten to the point where the Chiefs are so good and the rest of the teams on their schedule are so bad that the primetime TV are going, we'll find another game. There's just not enough intrigue here. This is too much of a mismatch. We don't want to put that on in prime time.
We want to make sure all viewers stick around for the full four quarters, not just the Kansas City market.
Not just Chiefs fans, right? So that's wild to me. I did not think that was going to be part of the story when we got to this Bengals game. We all knew it was going to be a big game for the Chiefs, but we did not know that it was going to be the last big Chiefs game of the regular season. The Chiefs, after they play at the Bengals, they play at the Broncos, they play at the Texans. They host, I mean, the Texans, God. Ugh. They host the Seahawks, they host the Broncos, and they're at the Raiders. I mean, that's a bad schedule.
If you see all the talk of Mahomes on pace to break the NFL record for most passing yards in the season, and then him being the lead MVP. those are some nice games for boosting the stat book or stat column a bit. So could see a final after this week against the Bengals. Well, actually, you know what? Include the Bengals into this last six games. It's a stretch where Mahomes can really solidify that MVP for 2022.
Yeah, the only question is, will they throw the ball less because they're winning by so much in some of these games? I guess that's a possibility. They've put up over 400 yards of offense three games in a row. And it'll be interesting to see if they make it four games in a row here when the injury report comes out yesterday and both Juju Smith-Schuster and Kadarius Toney did not practice. Smith-Schuster has an illness, so I guess you hope that he recovers. Of course, you hope that he recovers and he's ready to go, because right now the starting receivers that seem to be available are Sky Moore, MVS, who did have an injury but was a full participant in practice, and Justin
Watson.
Who might have to return punts, right? So they're thin at wide receiver right now, but that didn't seem to bother them too much in the last game. So we'll see. We'll see. Patrick Mahomes will probably continue to put up big numbers, and the Chiefs will have their last big test of the NFL regular season this weekend at Cincinnati with a shot at redemption. We'll have some Chiefs sound for you coming up. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB and on 38 The Spot.
Aw, yeah. Feels good.
If there wasn't enough drama for this Chiefs-Bengals game, we've got a kerfuffle. Is it a full-blown Twitter kerfuffle? We bring in Todd Lebo, who is our kerfuffle expert. You're our expert in kerfuffles.
I thought yesterday when this happened, it would probably turn into a kerfuffle. So first, let's just play the sound first.
Okay.
I'm in the locker room yesterday, and you know we have a very short amount of time. We were in there for about 10 minutes. Had a chance to talk to Joshua Williams for a second. And then I was just talking to actually Justin Reed about his foundation. He had just, I'd seen some video on the news that he was at Central High and they were doing, he's a big tech guy. And so he's, this coming up a couple of weeks is the My Cleats, My Cause thing. So we were just chit-chatting and then people came over, we started rolling and talking about the game, right? And so at the very end, this is, we'll play the whole question and answer here for you. The question you'll hear is from PJ at Fox 4.
When you watched that game last year, and now that you're with the Chiefs, is there anything that you see that you know that you could have helped them with last year in both games?
Yeah, man. The big time, like some of the missed tackles, explosive plays, a lot of it's going to come down to making the play on the ball, you know. And they have 88, Higbee. No, it's not. Is it not Higbee? Was it the Rams? What's his name?
It's Higbee and Higgins.
Yeah. They're going to have him back. He's a very talented receiver, too. More of a finesse type of guy. Not the best blocker. I'm going to lock him down. You know what I mean? Straight up. So, you know, we're going to have to come out of the game, like I said, play our best game and go out and do it.
So, he wasn't talking about T. Higgins. So, there's a nice rundown of this at Arrowhead Pride. You can see all the tweets. But so Jamar Chase sees this the clip on Twitter, and he because these guys all look at Twitter all the time, especially the young players, and he tweets at Justin Reed and says, "Let's put some money on it big time." Because
two
after,
eyes emoji.
Yeah. And
you got to get the emojis in there, Todd. These
you
are
have to have them
details.
In there. And then he also, I mean, Justin Reed basically admits that I was actually talking about Hayden Hurst, T. Higgins.
Oh, okay.
Because that's he said name. 88. That's yeah. Their tight end. And then, you know, P.J. Green is the one who threw out Higgins because he said Higbee.
Because he said Higbee.
Right,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
So it's confusing what's going on there. And then, so all these Bengal fans, because he said he wasn't a good blocker. They've got all these video clips underneath it where Hayden Hurst is laying people out, blocking him, and you know, anyway. So this is football 2022 is what this is. You're in the locker room, you're just talking to people. These guys a lot of times can't remember the names of some of the players. They know it's a number on tape, you know. Uh-huh. And then it turned into a thing. So now you got Jamar Chase and Justin Reed. Now, regardless of who he's talking about, Justin Reed did say he's going to lock somebody down. Okay? Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Straight up.
Going to lock him down. Uh-huh. So now we have we got a little – let's add some more drama to this, because if it wasn't enough that the Bengals had beaten the Chiefs two times in a row in a month, right?
Yep.
Let's go ahead and throw this in here. A guy who wasn't on the field, who was watching this on TV – because Justin said he was watching the game, you know, and he wasn't thinking about being a Chief or anything. At that point, he knew he was going to be a free agent, but you're just watching football. He told us you don't start thinking about that stuff till like, you know, March. But he's sitting there watching this game, and he said, I thought a couple things he said in there were important. He said, yeah, there were some missed tackles and a lot of big plays. That's all true. That's why the Chiefs don't have their aging defensive secondary anymore.
Yeah,
I think as much as anything, because of this game right here. Yeah. Jamar Chase had, in the regular season game, he had a 72 and a 69-yard touchdown. Neither one of them were like bombs. You know, he caught the ball and just ran past people, and no one caught him. Yeah. That was a problem when he was getting chased down by Dan Sorensen and Tyrann Mathieu instead of these. I mean, Justin Reed's an old guy on this secondary at 25,
and he's shown this year he's willing to actually pay the price, and he'll make it, because part of the job to me of a safety is you don't let him score a touchdown,
whatever it takes,
you know, like just you're the last defender, you know, don't let him get past you. And he's taken some massive hits from running backs, mm-hmm. 20 yards downfield where they've had a full head of steam, and he's like, well, this is going to hurt, but I'm going to get this guy
it's
down.
The job.
And he does, whereas Tyrann Mathieu made the decision a lot of times, I might, you know, I don't think
sometimes
that's
he
the
would,
right move.
You yeah, know, lay sometimes the lumber, but last year, not as much. Not as much.
Not so much.
So now you have it. You got Jamar Chase, all world wide receiver, and Justin Reed talking back and forth, and all the Bengals and Chiefs fans underneath in the comments.
So Jamar Chase said, let's put some money on it big time, mm-hmm. two eye emoji. Mm-hmm. Justin Reed said, y'all welcome for the extra motivation. I'm going to see you Sunday, champ.
Yep.
And then there were 67 replies right away to that, according to the screenshot here. And then Jamar responded and said, tuna in a can, cat face emoji.
Justin Reed said,
noted. What is that? Marco, you want to help me with that one? I made the mistake of putting that into Urban Dictionary.
Don't do that.
I don't think that's what he means.
I don't even know. I don't even know what Urban Dictionary would reference that as. I think that what that would possibly mean is that you're going to be stuck in a can. You're not going to be moving. Not a lot of moving. I don't know. You're already worth $1.25.
I've already caught you and sliced you up and put you in a can. What?
You're going to be my cat's breakfast. I don't.
What's it say on Urban Dictionary? We'll talk about that during the
break. I don't think we can say that on the air.
Anyway, so that's your
girth.
Fun.
Let's just put it that way.
Okay. All right then.
So there's the curve. I don't think that's what he means. I don't know.
No, it sounds more like if he's got a cat there, that's a meal.
Okay.
A tasty snack.
Gotcha where I want you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm going to be feasting on you.
Yeah, I know. You're at our house with our cats, they eat dry cat food, but if they see a little container, every once in a while, my wife will buy them a treat.
Yeah.
And that would be the tuna in a can, as it were.
Dolphin
like
safe,
that.
Though, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. 1,000%.
Uh-huh.
You may get a little taste of dolphin in there. What? they don't do that. They don't do that, Nate.
Well, you know, dolphin safe. They have the little logo on the can.
It is, but if they accidentally
when I was younger,
catch a dolphin, they don't put him in the can with the tuna.
No, not on purpose anyway.
No.
Boy, this is derailed. I don't want to talk about this anymore. Let's take a break. There's a kerfuffle. I don't think if you're Justin Reed, you probably don't want to put bulletin board material up there for Jamar Chase.
You don't, and this is very un-Chiefs-like.
Yeah, I'll bet you got a word from Big Red. You know, Big Red probably gave him one of those,
Yeah, around your mouth a little bit in a press conference today, huh?
Yeah.
And in a way that, like, everybody made it clear when we've talked to, like, Gary Dieter and those guys, when he says that to you, it scares the crap out of you, even if you're Travis Kelce.
Right.
Like, we've learned that even Travis Kelce is scared of Big Red.
Sure.
You know? And that's impressive. For a guy that never really, like, raises his voice at anybody. Gosh, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Around your mouth over there, huh?
Yeah, you do that.
See if you back
it
up.
That's not what we do here.
That's not how we roll.
This isn't Houston.
That is not. Here's a couple differences. We win here.
Yeah.
The other thing is we don't run our mouth like that against great players. But he was not, for the record, he was not talking about Jamar Chase or T. Higgins even.
Right.
When he was talking.
Keep your eye on Hayden Hurst.
Hayden Hurst might be the one that's just like slowly
taking notes.
He better
have his head
on
a swivel.
Quietly. Yeah. So, you don't think I can block, huh?
Uh-huh.
Well, see.
Let's do this.
Well, I don't think any of these guys need extra motivation for this one. It's a big game, and the Chiefs have revenge on their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Justin Reed doesn't carry that.
Even he does, though, because when you talk about this game, he said we. He wasn't on the team, but he's a Chief now. Yeah. He's a we guy.
I think he's a great addition. I think he's been a massive upgrade at safety. He seems like a good dude, and he makes field goals when you need him to in an emergency as well. We'll take a break. More Chiefs sound right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, I'm not going to get any other time today to talk about this, so you just got to give me a minute, Kansas City, or 5 to 10 minutes, because the rest of the show, we got Greg Gurley talking college hoops, and then we got NFL the rest of the way.
Let's say this right now. I saw Greg Gurley yesterday.
Yeah.
He's looking good.
Is he?
Yes.
Okay. I know you like to.
How did you say you were going to have him on?
He'll help us eat up some time.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And that's not fair.
Why not?
Because he's looking good.
I never said he looked bad. I didn't say anything about the way he looks.
I can't wait.
He makes
to,
fun of me
yeah,
for
I know
being
he
a
does.
Little guy
he
every
does.
Time we talk, so I got to make fun of him for something. I got to, you know, I got to have something in my back pocket. All right. Greg Gurley is one of the best. Like, everybody loves Greg Gurley. So, this freaking afternoon window at the World Cup yesterday was some of the most insane, bat blank crazy stuff I've ever watched in my life. And yes, I was invested because my grandparents are from Poland and I was the very proud Grand Marshal of the Polski Day Parade in KCK in 2016, I believe it was, maybe 17. Marco Marquez, you're probably rooting for Mexico, I assume, in their situation yesterday. My buddy Ruben, my best friend from Chihuahua, Mexico, we were texting back and forth through this whole thing. Mexico's playing Saudi Arabia. Poland's playing Argentina. Poland is in first place going into the game, but Argentina with a win can go into first place, right? And they get up 2-0 on Poland. Mexico gets up 2-0 on Saudi Arabia. This means now that while this is happening, with about 20 minutes left in these two games, and that's why they play the last game of the group stage.
Exact same time.
At the same time, so that no team has the benefit of knowing.
It's what they try to do in the National Football League now. That's why there's no game times announced on week 18.
Yeah.
They wait, and they want to get any game that matters to another game, they want to try to make them be at the same time.
So
and Major League Baseball, for the last like 5 years, has made the entire last day of the season, which turned out to be nothing last year.
Right.
They try to play them at the same time, so you don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but you don't know.
Right. And for those of you that hate soccer, sorry to tell you this, but the NFL and baseball took that from soccer. That's what they call it, decision day, or, you know, that's the last day of the English Premier League. That's what everybody plays at the same time in case something like that happens. So they do that for exactly moments like this. And you're not supposed to be able to have a cell phone on the bench to know what's going on in the other game.
But they know.
They know.
They
and
know.
Everybody was huddled around something on the bench to see what's going on in the other game. So once it gets to 2-0 in both games, we're in a scenario where Poland and Mexico are completely tied.
Couldn't be more tied.
On every tiebreaker you can imagine, they have the same number of
points.
Yep.
Goals against.
Well, the first one is differential.
Goals scored.
Yep.
The game
head-to-head.
They played against each other, which was exactly
nil-nil.
Tied, nothing. And if Poland wouldn't have gone through because of Robert Lewandowski missed a PK against Mexico, that would have been something.
Ugh.
But in the first half of the game...
But they did go through because Messi missed a PK.
Messi missed a PK,
well,
saved
he didn't miss it. It was saved by
one of the best PK saves you'll ever see. One-handed against the greatest player in the world.
Wojciech Szczesny, the goalkeeper for Poland, has been the best player maybe in this whole tournament.
It's unbelievable.
He made 11 saves in this game yesterday.
So we talk about this when it comes to the NFL all the time. What are the tiebreakers? You get down to common games, strength of victory. This one got down to...
And there is a point where it gets down to a coin flip in the NFL, right?
It does. The very last thing is a coin flip.
Yeah.
And this one got down to, at that exact moment, fair play, which is... how many yellow and red cards you have. But at that moment, Poland was going to advance on that.
7-4. Seven yellow cards to Mexico, 4 to Poland.
It had...
Poland picked up a yellow card to make it a little closer.
Last World Cup or two World Cups ago, someone advanced on...
Japan.
Yeah.
It's the only other time, according to my buddy Paul Carr, statistician, it's the only time that it's ever happened.
So we're going to get down to the end of that, but... Saudi Arabia, who was still trying to score and win, because they needed... You remember, they pulled off the biggest upset in the tournament. They beat Argentina. Yeah. So they were in a position where if they won the game, they were in. They were a little bit like America's position. They couldn't...
They had to win.
Draw. They had to. There was some weird scenario if they drew, but it was really weird. They needed to go win the game. So they're down 2-0. Mexico's trying like hell to score goals, which they continued to score.
And they
but they were offside every
offside.
Time. And eventually, they just get exhausted, and Saudi Arabia just hammers an easy goal in, and it's over.
In stoppage time, while the Poland-Mexico or the Poland-Argentina game was already over. But Poland was getting waylaid by Argentina the entire time.
Yeah.
And you could see, like, every once in a while, the camera would show the coach on the Poland side getting updates from his assistants on what was going on in the Mexico game. And they got to make this decision. And it's like, okay, if we can go score a goal against Argentina, then we're back in good shape here.
Is it easier to score or just not allow? I don't know.
And, but it's like, so when they ended up deciding, it was obvious how much better Argentina was than them. And they were exhausted from chasing them all over the field. They were like, we just got to play defense, not give any yellow cards away the rest of the way, and hope to God Mexico doesn't score another goal. And that was the way this thing went. And I will say, as a guy that was rooting for Poland, it's kind of a crappy way to root for a team.
Yeah, rather be rooting for Mexico. You'd rather be rooting for they're trying to score and all this.
Not just like don't foul anybody, don't give up any goals.
It's 7-4 on cards. We can afford... two cards.
So
what are you going to do?
Technically, they didn't go through because of the fair play rule, but they kind of did. Because the reason Mexico gave up that last goal is because they had to throw everything at scoring a goal, you know, at the end. So for Mexico, it's the first time they haven't made it to the knockout rounds in 7 World Cups. I think they had made 7 in a row until this one. Tata Martino, their manager, got fired like on the field. You know, like he was, they all knew it. Everybody knew if he doesn't get to the knockout rounds, he might have been fired anyway because all the Mexico fans were kind of sick of him.
Yeah.
And so he got fired like minutes after the game. But that was insane.
And we're going to have kind of the same stuff today. Today, this afternoon, we have the group with Costa Rica. Remember, they lost 7-0. They're playing Germany.
To Spain. Yeah.
They win, they're in. I mean,
Costa Rica came back and beat Japan, who had beaten Germany.
Yes. So this group's crazy.
Everybody's alive. All 4 teams are alive going into the last game. That doesn't usually happen.
And the other one is Canada's probably not alive.
They've already lost both, so they're done.
They're out. But, you know, Belgium, Croatia, Morocco, that'll be fun too. So it's another fun day today. And which ones are first? We have, is it the late ones? Yeah, the late ones are the good ones. The 1 o'clock window is Costa Rica, Germany, Japan, Spain. That'll be a lot of fun to watch because they'll all be trying to, at different times of the game, be trying to do different things.
Croatia, there'll be a watch party at St. John the Baptist today, and I wish I could go down there for it.
You have to work.
But I'm working here. I get the opportunity to work here.
Yes,
so I'm not going to be there. But Croatia made it to the final last time. They've got one of the best midfields in the entire world, maybe the best. You could make the argument. And Belgium, this is their golden generation.
Yeah, if Belgium doesn't make it through, this will be as disappointing as anything that's happened. This will be worse than Mexico not making it through.
This is the golden generation's last opportunity to try to win something big, too. They've just kind of disappointed all along. And now they've gotten to that point. And this is where I think I like what the U.S. has, the youth, I think is a good thing. these guys haven't built their egos up enough yet to hate each other and have little petty squabbles inside the locker room. And there's all kinds of reports out there now that these Belgian players don't like each other. And there's a rift in the locker room. And they're saying, no, it's not true. But it seems like it usually happens. I mean, usually like teams that are together for that long, they either get fed up with their federation. They're fed up with doing all this stuff. They're fed up with each other. They got big egos. One of the guys slept with the other guy's girlfriend. Mm. That happens all the time, unfortunately, in professional sports.
So Sunday morning, 9 bells, Poland, France. You feeling really good about this?
I feel like Wojciech Szczęsny's going to have to make 25 saves. Then he's going to have to make 7 saves in the penalty shootout, and then he'll probably have to convert
Kick
his
one,
own penalty.
Convert zone.
And if that all happens, then Poland's got a shot.
Poland's through.
We will take a break back after this. There's our World Cup. That is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. They have stepped up to be our wonderful World Cup sponsors. We're going to have Matt Bees. I'm going to tape an interview with him again so we can get a preview of the United States versus the Netherlands, which is coming your way Saturday morning, and it's going to be an absolutely raucous Power and Light District. I think they're already close to selling the thing out. Get your tickets at sportingkc.com if you don't already
Free
have
tickets.
Them. Free tickets, and the tickets do not guarantee admission, but you do have to have them to get in. Those just allow you to get in if you're there in time before it gets to capacity.
There are some codes down
Once
there.
It gets to capacity, they won't let anybody else in the place. So get your tickets, get there early. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. This was the first song I ever heard by the Blues Travelers. Blues Traveler. Just one.
John Popper. Interesting band.
Yeah.
Anyone who can play like 15 harmonicas or whatever.
John Popper is to the harmonica as Ian Anderson is to the flute.
Oh, yeah.
Making an interesting...
In popular music. Probably not in like blues music, but in popular music. Like, nobody's playing a harmonica today.
Right. And not like that. Thing. You know, like Bob Dylan played the harmonica all the time. He didn't play it like this.
No. That's like Bob Dylan, Neil Young, all these guys. They singer-songwriters. They would have the little deal around their neck and play the guitar and the harmonica. But not like this. John Popper.
Here's the John Popper.
John Popper is an interesting man.
Still alive?
Yeah. I've heard some weird interviews with John Popper. Yeah.
Usually great artists are weird.
Oh, yeah.
Or interesting, I should say.
Oh, he's interesting. Seen some things.
Has he? Do you care to share?
It had something to do with porn stars. Is this interview I was listening to?
All right. Let's hear from Andy Reid, shall we? As the Chiefs get ready for the Bengals, and Isaiah Pacheco is he turning into a bell cow back for the Kansas City Chiefs?
They're
banged up in the backfield right now. Jerick McKinnon's got a calf, I believe.
Oh, they said hamstring on the injury report.
Hamstring.
We didn't know about that coming out of the game. That just kind of popped up yesterday on the injury report. We're like, oh, okay, well, now put two and two together. Hello, Melvin Gordon. We understand why you're hanging around.
Yeah.
Because I think Clyde's hurt.
Yep.
And then you got a hamstring working with Jerick, who's a big part of what they do, especially in the later downs. You know, he's the guy they trust to do a lot of things. But yeah, Isaiah Pacheco's done a nice job.
L'Jarius
especially
Sneed
at the
and Juan Thornhill both have calves, but they were full participants yesterday. Mm-hmm. So it is a hamstring for McKinnon. So Pacheco, 22 carries last game. Andy Reid was asked if there's a plan to implement Pacheco more in the passing game going forward.
Yeah, so I mean, Sarin, he's got really good hands. He just had another 10 opportunity. But he will. As time goes on here, he'll get more opportunities to catch the ball. He did a nice job on that one for sure.
And you and Eric talked about it, like him having patience. You know, we can see how hard he wants to hit the hole, but maybe he needs to be a little more read what's going on. Is that magnified even more in the passing game with some of the option routes and different ways you guys do things that wherever he is as a runner, maybe he's even that much further back as a receiver?
No, he's done good with that. He actually does well with the routes and his patience on that. The running is getting better. I mean, he's getting better at that. He's got some kind of energy now. I mean, if I had that energy, I'd be 110 pounds. I'll borrow some. So he's unbelievable that way, how he plays. And he's that way every day. I mean, that's how he's out of practice and everything else.
He's a bouncy guy. I mean, he bounced around the locker room, he bounced around the practice field, gets in the game, runs with energy. And that's not going to last forever. That's why you get running backs and you use them. And then when they get older, you don't re-sign them to long-term contracts because you just can't do that forever.
Pacheco is clearly a potential weapon in the pass game. And I like the direction of the questioning just in terms of, like, why isn't he getting the ball more in that area? Because that puts him in space where that bouncy physical style, you know, yeah, it's great when you're in tight spaces and you got a guy that can be physical and smash into a linebacker and get a couple of extra yards. You know where it's really great? When that guy catches it in space and a little safety or a little corner has to try to come up and tackle him, because usually he doesn't just knock him back 3 yards. He knocks him over and stiff arms him and keeps running. But I think it has to get to a point now where we say, look, that is one thing that Clyde Edwards-Helaire looked like he was really capable of doing out of college, and it never has really clicked. We see little glimpses every once in a while of it, and Pacheco seems like a weapon there, and it's not really happening much. Is this maybe just Patrick Mahomes doesn't throw to the running back a lot because he's looking downfield?
Some of that. I mean, they've done a nice job. I think a better job this year with some really nice screens to McKinnon. But yeah, they don't have as many like little swing passes and stuff like that. But maybe that'll be something if
Patrick Mahomes is not a check down kind of guy.
No, but you can make big plays if you design the right play on some little wheel routes and stuff like that that you see occasionally. And you know, I know I still remember one of the first plays that. And it was maybe Patrick Mahomes' first game. He started in 18, where he threw a little wheel route thing to the sausage.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, like, the Chargers game out there? I mean, so there are opportunities there. If they get someone who can really catch it and do it, maybe that'll be something you see.
I think Pacheco can be that
kind of guy. Andy was selling it yesterday. Yeah, he can absolutely catch the ball.
Yeah, well, we've seen it. We saw it in training camp, I thought. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB at 38 The Spot.